In our reading from the Gospel of John, we witness the collision of opposing forces. We have Pontius Pilate, the local Roman political authority, and we have the Jerusalem temple authorities. We didn't hear from them today, but they're in this mix too. They're milling about outside of Pilate's headquarters. All of them are about wielding power. Pilate is trying to keep the Passover crowds under control. Violence could easily break out among the people. And the Jewish authorities, well, they're worried about Jesus too. They're worried that this troublemaker from Galilee threatens the delicate balance that they maintain with their Roman occupiers. They too are afraid of insurrection. So they arrest Jesus, question him, and now have turned him over to Pilate. Well, standing calmly in the middle of all this is Jesus. What so irritates the Jewish authorities and baffles Pilate is that Jesus resists joining their world. He does not kowtow to Rome, nor does he call his followers to violent resistance. He embodies a completely different way, a way of humble authority. He says, if my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Well, what is this kingdom? Jesus says it comes from God. He embodies it. He is not about amassing lots of control or ruling over others. Instead, he is about establishing relationships. You know, most kingdoms strain or break relationships because they're brought about by force. But Jesus, the Word become flesh, brings life and light. Jesus is full of grace and truth. He witnesses to the truth that God is love. God is love. Jesus' authority is based on this. God loves unconditionally and desires to draw all people to Jesus, draw people into abundant life. But we have a hard time imagining how this can be. We see how others wield power and control, and so we're tempted to use power, whether it be subtle influence or persuasive argument or outright manipulation. We're tempted to use power to get what we want and need. And since this is how we operate, we tend to imagine that God does this too. We imagine that God establishes the kingdom through coercion. You know, sometimes we believe that only if we fear and obey God, then God will love us in return. But God's grace and acceptance is absolutely unconditional. And we see this most clearly in the cross. Jesus' death on the cross is an act of sacrificial love. As Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, indeed, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, and therefore his followers will not fight for him. Because to bring the kingdom about by violence is to go against the very principles of this kingdom and bring about its destruction. Okay, so what are we to make of this? What are we to make of this, we who live in a world that's torn apart by violence? The sad stories of people grieving for their lost loved ones continually fill our news feed. You know, the most recent deaths perpetrated by terrorists in, well, you name it, Beirut, Paris, and Mali, they'll scare us and make us shake us to our very core. And we know that we're not immune to such things, right? We remember September 11th. and fear it could happen again. We tend to think that the only way, though, to deal with threat is with more controls, more severe punishments. But where does that leave us? Even more suspicious of those who are different from us? Isn't that what the terrorists want? To make us sad and fearful and so control our lives? You see, if we let fear consume us, we turn our backs on the freedom of Christ's forgiveness and love. If we let fear control us, we lose our capacity to think wisely and act faithfully. And then we can be tempted to turn our backs on those who truly need our comfort and help. So again, I ask, what are we to make of this? Well, we worship the crucified and risen Christ, whose power is made known chiefly through showing mercy. His power is made known chiefly through showing mercy. Well, some faithful Christians believe that Jesus calls us to be pacifists, to employ nonviolent means of resistance in the face of fear and hatred. This way of the historic peace churches like the Mennonites certainly is a strong witness to the love of Jesus Christ. Other Christians hold to Luther's perspective of the two kingdoms. This stresses that the temporal authorities, like armies and law enforcement, have a critical role to play in creating a more orderly and more just world. And we can certainly see the wisdom and logic in this. But we are also seeing that there are limits to the reach and outcomes of the use of force. Martin Luther King Jr. was a champion for Christian nonviolence. He wrote, "The ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie nor establish the truth. Through violence, you may murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate." So it goes, he says. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. And he says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Now, Martin Luther King's words come from a piece entitled, "Where Do We Go From Here?" Where do we go from here? That's a good question for us, too. There is not only one right way to respond to hate and violence. And Jesus realizes that too. He says, who is our merciful King? He says, he calls us to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. In other words, we need to listen to trustworthy news sources, to hear the pain of those who are suffering, to set aside our prejudice, and to speak up and question others who advise only harsh controls. The theologian and Philadelphia Seminary president, David Loos, has some wise words for us today, and I'd like to share those with you. He says, "We gather this Sunday to pray and to witness. To pray that God will comfort those who mourn, strengthen those who seek to thwart terrorists and bring them to justice. Change the hearts of those who can see no other way forward but through violence. And equip all of us to work for a peace born of equity. For only such a peace will last." And then he says, after our praying, we are called to witness. To witness to the one who demonstrated power through weakness, who manifested strength through vulnerability, who established justice through mercy, and who built the kingdom of God by embracing a confused, chaotic, and violent world. And he concludes, Jesus did this by taking the pain of the world into his own body, dying the death it sought, and rising again to remind us that light is stronger than darkness, that love is stronger than hate, and that with God, all good things are possible. So on this day, we celebrate Christ the King. We celebrate the glorious and gentle rule of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give thanks that he is a ruler so different than the rulers of our deeply troubled world. He is the one who testifies to the truth. He testifies to the truth of God's unconditional love. And he calls us to testify to that same love. Amen.